Morning, everybody. This is News Radio 94.9 890 KDXU. It's Wednesday and time for Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
This is Elder Care Radio, where we try and provide information that is specifically beneficial to our elderly community about the healthcare system and how to get the most out of it. And it is another great Wellness Wednesday.
That's right. Good morning, everyone. We're glad that you could join us today.
Are you feeling well on Wellness Wednesday, by the way?
We are feeling well.
Oh, good.
I'm well. So it is great to be here, and we really appreciate it. And we were thinking, you know, new year, and we've got a whole bunch of new listeners that may not have, you know, heard our story and why we are doing what we're doing, you know, talking about hospice and palliative care on the radio. What could you possibly, you know, but so we wanted to kind of review what our reasons were for getting involved in this, because when we moved to St. George in 2017, we had no intention of doing anything like this.
Right. We moved here to help take care of my dad, who lived in Santa Clara for quite some time. And he had some health needs, and he was struggling just to take care of himself. And we moved up here with our family to take care of him and did not have the, I'm going to say, experience that we had hoped for.
Well, let me restate that. We moved up here 3 days after he passed away.
Yeah.
With the intent that, because there was no reason for him to pass away, really. Our intention was that we were going to spend time with him and take care of him. But before we moved here, 3 days before he passed away, he was put on hospice. And nobody understood, none of our family knew that at the time, because somebody just took some paperwork into him and had him sign it. And then all of a sudden his care changed. And the care that came in had a completely different plan than we did.
Well, and I believe he was very cognizant and he was capable of making his own decisions, but his understanding of hospice was our experience in Vegas, and that's very different than the experience here. In Las Vegas, we used a company that had a very expanded palliative care program, and here they just had your very basic palliative care, while you know, which was pain management. And while the nurses were absolutely lovely, they weren't allowed to give the extras that I think he expected, we expected from our experience in Las Vegas.
Right, because in Las Vegas, to give you an example, we had a great experience under terrible circumstances. My mother-in-law had been feeling ill and didn't do well. You know, it was hard to do things during the day, and she'd been to the doctor and hadn't gotten any answers. And so we just had them move in with us until she recovered. She was going to come live with us in Vegas and work through this. But when they came to Vegas and we went to a doctor, the doctor gave her the diagnosis that she had lung cancer and that it had metastasized throughout her entire body, and that there was really nothing medically to be done, and that every day was a gift. That she should probably already be dead. And so we were referred to hospice, and we knew nothing really at that time. That word was foreign to us.
Right.
But the hospice company came in, and they talked to us about what we wanted to accomplish, and they asked her, you know, what her goals were. And she didn't want to give up the fight, but she also believed that, you know, traditional medicine wasn't going to solve it. She wanted to try other things. And the hospice company was very open to helping her find those services and alternative options. And we were participating in that. And we all got to do everything we could to make her life better.
And really, the medical, it's important to understand that all of the medical needs were met. All of the requirements of Medicare and Medicaid and every insurance company as far as overseeing her care was met. But in addition, they offered many, many extra services and things that go far beyond medical to bring her a higher quality of life and our entire family a better experience, honestly.
As a caregiver, my wife was, you know, taking care of both her parents in our house along with our own kids and taking care of me, and she does a great job, but she was overwhelmed. And when we had opportunities to take advantage of some of those services so that it wasn't all on her shoulders, it was a great experience. And because of those great experiences and because my mother-in-law had that opportunity to try, and it's amazing how much the human will matters in in success. While we were told that every day we had with her was a gift, that she had already, she should already be passed away, she was with us for 5.5 months. And during that 5.5 months, we had great opportunities to come to grips with the reality, to grieve, to share love and experiences, and show that warmth and help that we wanted. But she also had family from England that was able to travel to visit us, and they did it while she was alive, and they had time to spend time with her and build some more memories and experiences that wouldn't have happened if they had just come for a funeral. So those were all great circumstances that came about. So our belief in hospice was, man, this is really amazing stuff. Hospice is great because they made life much better.
Well, and they created an experience for us where there was no regret remaining. We were able to try all the things that my mom wanted to try. And my mom was very different than my dad. My mom tended to be very holistic in her views of healthcare. 20 years ago when she passed, holistic medicine really was not a popular term. That's what she wanted to try. So the hospice company came in and gave us resources, doctors, names, options, and alternative medicines to try. So each day my mom tried things like massage therapy, foot zoning. She tried very, very holistic medications with vitamins and things that
wheatgrass
and teas and juicing and all these things that made her feel like she wasn't giving up. And that desire to live really did extend her life, but it gave her an absolutely beautiful experience with a lot of family coming in and a lot of great memories being created and stories to tell after she was gone. Her passing really was a storybook ending. If you can, you know, write the ending of your book, she had a beautiful passing. That was not the same experience that we had with my dad, unfortunately.
Well, let me just say this before we move on to that next experience. I am sure that the hospice company, if we had had a different conversation, if they had asked us questions and we weren't looking for those types of alternatives, they would have adapted to whatever we wanted.
Yes.
That was really the key. That's is that they point. Were willing to adapt to whatever the patient and the family were looking for to try and help make it the best experience possible.
And I think that's really important to stress. So I just want to say it again, and then I'll let Richard finish. It is not about giving up, and it's not about giving up your choices. The difference between a hospice with an expanded palliative care program versus just your typical hospice company is when you have an expanded palliative, the team comes in to find out about you and your family and what your needs are. Needs and desires are. So you never give up your choices. We hear quite often how scary the word hospice is in this community because many people perceive it as I give up many of my choices and my rights to continue to attempt things or try things. And that should not be the experience in our view. We're supposed to come in, educate, support, bring all the equipment and materials and supplies and pharmaceuticals and whatever it is that you as an individual needs and your family needs. It's 100% covered under Medicare or Medicaid's benefit, plus most other insurance companies cover it. It really is a program that Medicare tried to create the right way, but it's not being used to its fullest expansion. We did experience it in a much larger capacity in Las Vegas, and then we did not have that experience here. But it really is about us coming in and finding out as a team what would help you to have a better life experience for as long as you live, never hastening, never medicating unless you say, I'm in pain, I need something. But if not, you don't take medications, you experience life and you live and you're awake and lucid and experiencing family members and good times. And we're very, very much about spending the extra time with you when you do have pain that you need to have managed to titrate it or to balance that overcoming the pain without giving up your consciousness, you know, without putting you completely to sleep. So our nurses will come in and spend hours with you, just taking the edge off of your pain so that you can still enjoy life. And that's really just, you know, a tidbit of what an expanded palliative care program can do for you.
Right. So you brought up the pain issue. And if we look at pain, you know, pain can be in a lot of different forms. It can be occasional pain. It can be, you know, recurring pain, things like that. And it's, you know, if that's the case, then the best use of a pain management system is to just use it right before that pain experience is going to happen. And sometimes we can predict that. And that would be the time to take that medication. While it's easier to just say, well, let's just take this every 4 hours, that's not necessarily addressing the issue. It's just providing a blanket to, you know, to cover up the issue instead of trying to solve it. So if it's just an occasional pain and we can take something occasionally to solve that, then that makes sense. If it is chronic pain, then you have to make a choice. Because if we are going to absolutely remove the pain, we are probably going to end up sleeping. And we can do that part-time. But if we do that all the time, then time comes short. And I hope I say that in a way that doesn't offend people. But if all we do is sleep and we don't eat and we don't drink, then we're short time. Right. So if we can manage the pain by reducing it enough with some painkillers that we are still able to be engaged in the day, then it's a much better life.
But remember, it's not our choice, it's yours. And no one should come into your home, in your place of security and safety, and decide how your care will progress. It should be a decision that is made with the patient and the family's involvement. We'll never come in and just force our desires upon you. We will be there to support, answer questions, and provide all the necessities, but you will make the decisions.
And that's one of the things a lot of people have told us, is that they got a lot more information so that they felt more comfortable with everything that was going on. Instead of being surprised, instead of not knowing what's going on, we would rather have a conversation with you and explain how painkillers work and how we can use those appropriately instead of inappropriately, and other things that can happen. Anxiety, you know, as people age and start having mental deficiencies, sometimes it's hard in the evenings, you know, just before the sun goes down. It's called sundowners. And our bodies have this natural need to participate in the day, right? And we are affected by the different times of day, and sometimes we get over-affected. And so managing that, instead of just saying, well, let's just put a stop to all of it, how about we manage it and make it livable? And that's really our goal. Now, that was our experiences in Las Vegas, and it was great, and we had great opportunities. And then we have a new experience.
I feel like I need to interject here. Our goal was always to move to St. George because we loved it. It's a beautiful community. My parents lived here in Santa Clara for 25 years. We loved to visit, and we used to say when our kids are a little bit older and our business is one that we can manage from St. George, we're moving.
And sometimes you just need an excuse or you know, something to force you to make that decision because it's too easy to not
move. I had a lot of other family here. So when my father did become ill, we decided, opportunity, we're coming up. I also want to interject here, there aren't enough people that take advantage of the expanded palliative care program. In fact, it's estimated by Medicare that only 37% of the people are offered
hospice.
Right.
And of those that are offered, the study showed that half of them only lived 13 days or less. And so that means that those people didn't get what they could have out of hospice. And certainly they should have gotten a hospice much earlier, but nobody ever offered it to them.
Right. So it's important to understand that you should not fear it. You should take control of those things that you can control. So find a company that has an expanded palliative care program like we do. We're the first and only here in Southern Utah, but we are trying to get our friends to also expand their palliative care program. So tell them that you understand it, you know what you're entitled to by your insurance policy, and that you want more, and you're entitled to more. And remember, when are you eligible? This is also just something that amazes me. Sometimes we will get these calls. As a matter of fact, this week I had a call from a daughter who said, I feel like when I listen to your radio program, my mom should be offered the palliative care program from her doctor, but they haven't. Well, a couple of things happen. Either doctors fear the conversation because they know statistically in this community, people fear the word hospice, and I understand that. That's because we've never had a palliative care program before. Or that conversation is very hard to have. You know, I'm a doctor. I went to school to practice medicine, and I'm coming to you saying, listen, we've done everything we can, and there's really nothing left. We are not going to be able to cure your loved one. Or they don't see your day-to-day activities, and they really don't have a true understanding of how difficult life is when you're home trying to take care of yourself or a loved one, or you and a loved one, and your regular day-to-day is just a struggle, you know, just to finally get in bed at night, have a few hours of sleep, and wake up to the struggle again, the struggle of keeping your house clean, of having meals prepared, of taking care of either yourself or a loved one and their medical needs, of, you know, just providing the day-to-day cares, considered activities of daily living, that are required of us. It's a huge burden when we're young and have children. Imagine how difficult it is as we age, when we slow down and every activity takes so much more effort. That's really where this program is beautiful. We step in and we help with extra compassionate service needs. We can help with housekeeping, with meal planning. We can help with bathing. We can help with as much or as little as you need. So if you're sitting there and thinking, my parents need some of that, but they're not eligible yet, you should probably give us a call. A, you might be surprised that they are eligible. And if they're not eligible, you'll know when they are. And there are other resources in this town that we might be able to make available to you to help in the interim. So just know that our company is all about helping. If you make that phone call, there's no obligation. It's just question and answer period. It's an opportunity for you to learn and understand how wonderful the program is and how much benefit it can bring to someone you love, whether that's an aunt or an uncle, a neighbor, grandparents, parents, siblings. We just want to help the community.
And on the eligibility side, a lot of people imagine that you're only eligible at the point that there is nothing left to do other than be bedbound and you know, eating and drinking a little of water and food. And that's the level at which we wish we had been there 6 months earlier,
right?
That we could have come up with ways to make the entire experience from the very beginning. So when we're looking at a life-limiting condition, and that could be heart disease, a huge portion of our community has heart disease.
Parkinson, Alzheimer's.
Yeah, or kidney disease, or, you know, anything that is probably going to be what takes our life in the next, and I'm going to go with the next 10 years. If you have a condition that is probably going to be the thing that you...
It's time to find out. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's the life-limiting condition. Now, if you call us and we talk to you and you are not at a stage that you're eligible for hospice, at least you can be comforted in that.
And there are probably other resources that can help you.
That's
we
right.
can give you direction and telephone numbers or companies or whatever it is, whatever your needs are, we can help you create a plan that'll make life a little bit more enjoyable for yourself or your loved ones. This is kind of a good time to talk about this. Yesterday we had a daughter, her mom is in a rehabilitation center, and she wondered if it was possible that we go into the rehabilitation centers and help her mom. And let me just say, absolutely yes. Right now the facilities are understaffed. I think everybody knows that we are in a deficit when it comes to healthcare providers. That number is going to go down again as the Supreme Court ruling takes effect. So we need to understand that if you have a loved one, whether it be at home or in a facility, we can offer extra supplemental help to make sure that your loved one is provided for as an individual, not just as a case load by a nurse in a facility, but somebody coming in specifically to help your loved one with one-on-one attention several times throughout the week, many times throughout the week. In addition, the facilities report back to us. We have a meeting every 14 days where they go over very specific details. In addition to them calling us 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, on every emergent need.
Right. So you'll get all the care that the facility is going to provide anyway?
And more.
And what we can provide is another layer of that care that fills in a lot of the gaps that have been created. And so that's really where the benefit is. So getting back to our original intent, which was to kind of tell you why we got involved. So we had a great experience in Las Vegas. We had an understanding of what hospice could be. And then we found out what the standard of care in St. George was, and it was entirely different. And that this, again, they've hit the minimum medical standard that Medicare requires, right? So a nurse visit within a certain length of time, you know, and some protocols put in place based upon some symptoms. But that was really it. And the plan that was given was one of Medicaid to unconsciousness. And I'm going to be very blunt here.
A little harsh.
And many people in this community have seen medicated to unconsciousness. And we don't think that that's appropriate most of the time. We believe that the family should have some input on that. We didn't have any input. And that was the really difficult part of that was before we ever had an opportunity to input, he passed away because my wife was there the day before he went on hospice. She missed the day he signed up. If she had been there, maybe there'd be a different discussion. But then on the next day, when she finds out late in the day that he's on hospice because he can't be roused because of his medications, and she is told that she needs to talk to the hospice administrator the following day, so in the middle of the night between her finding out and being able to talk to somebody the next day, he passes away because he was medicated again. And that was very disappointing. And that, you know, he signed the documents. We're not claiming that anybody did this without somebody knowing.
Right.
But he wouldn't have signed up for what he got if he had understood it.
His perception of what his experience would be was like my mother's, and it wasn't that. So his expectation was different, and he probably wasn't as verbal as he should have been. He just assumed that it would be the same experience, and it wasn't. It was a sad tale for us, but we had already purchased a home. We were already moving here. We moved in on July 1st. He passed on June 29th. And so we got here dealing with the regret, trying to figure out what went wrong, honestly, thinking that maybe Utah has a euthanasia law, which they don't. But what we discovered is that nobody had the expanded palliative care program. So we immediately went to work to say, we don't want anyone else in this community to ever endure that kind of suffering and regret. We will create this business so that we can enlighten the community and introduce an expanded care program to all of our other friends that are in the hospice and healthcare industry.
And we keep learning more and more. And our next experience with hospice was with my father. He had been declining for quite some time. And when I went to visit him, he wanted to go to the hospital, and we went to the hospital, and we went through the same process that he had done many times over. You know, take some tests. The doctor says, yes, you have congestive heart failure and you have kidney disease, and we'll just watch this. Well, I asked the question, well, what is it we're going to do? How do we solve this? And they said, well, there's no solution. And that was enlightening because the doctor didn't want to have that conversation until I brought it up. And at the point that I brought it up, I could see the relief on his face when he said, oh, well, you're ready for hospice then, because he didn't have to bring it up. So it's important that you understand that everybody's experience is different, and the service has to adapt to your goals and your experiences, and we want to do that. But if we don't know what your goals and experiences are, we can't help you. So please call us. Our telephone number, 435-477-6999. Easiest number in St. George to remember. It's 477 on the left, 6999 on the right. If you want a little more information, go to our website, pathwayhospicecare.com. That's pathway with a P. we just really want to help everybody in the community understand what their health care can be, improve their own life, whether you are hospice eligible or not. Give us a call and let's have a conversation.
Yeah, we've become your resource for all of your needs and direction, and we'll help you to be your own best medical advocate or whatever your needs are. We're there to help.
So if you're writing that number down, 435-477-6999. We look forward to seeing you next week, or at least talking to you next week.
Have a great week, everyone.